are listening to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church.
Good morning, and I'm going to invite you to take your Bibles this morning. Turn to Luke chapter 2, Luke's Gospel chapter 2. You know, Luke records for us that Joseph and Mary left their home area of Nazareth. They traveled all the way down to Bethlehem, the home of their family heritage. The reason was to pay their census tax to Rome. They did that. When they arrived, there was no accommodation for them at all. So Jesus ended up, you know, being born in that manger, that feeding trough for the animals. Not long afterward, the shepherds arrived at the bidding of the angels, and they left the scene very excited, just overflowing with joy. Remember that? And 8 days later, the Bible says in chapter 2, verse 21, that Jesus was circumcised. 8 days after that, it was still months before the wise men would arrive. And they would show up at Jerusalem asking the whereabouts of the new king. Actually, had a meeting with King Herod. And then they finally arrived in Bethlehem to find who they'd been searching for. But here, it says in verse 22 that Mary and Joseph actually went up into the temple. They brought 6-week-old baby Jesus into Jerusalem to the temple. There were two ceremonies that needed to be fulfilled. One being the presentation of the firstborn son in the temple, and the other being the purification of Mary after the birth. And that was all in accordance with the Mosaic law. And they were there. And the Bible talks about this man named Simeon that was so excited to see Jesus. And it is at that point where Simeon actually is blessing God. He's so excited about seeing baby Jesus and seeing the Messiah. At that moment, the Bible says, and that's where I really want to call your attention, to verses 36, 37, and 38. I'd like us to look at just that one instance in this whole narrative around this woman named Anna. And it says there in verse 36, "Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day." And coming in that instant, what's it talking about? At that instant, here is Simeon holding 6-week-old Jesus in his arms. He's excited and he's blessing God. And we have the very words that he says right there. As he's holding the Christ child, at that instant, Anna walks up to them. And it says, "She gave thanks to the Lord and spake of him to all those who look for redemption in Jerusalem." And this morning, let's ask God to meet with us and help us. Father, we thank you for your presence this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have your word. It's your holy word. It's precious. And Lord, we pray that as you brought us together here, that we would, Lord, be attentive and that our hearts would be sensitive and responsive, as was Anna, Lord, responsive to the Christ child. May we react and be obedient to you, Lord, in the manner that you would call us. And Lord, we pray that you'd have your way with us, that we would yield to your Spirit, that you would guide and teach us and direct us. And we thank you for what you're going to show us this morning. In Christ's name, amen. How would this woman, how would Anna respond to the Christ child? You know, we think about it. We know the story, the narrative of how the shepherds responded. Remember, they were excited. They were overjoyed that Jesus had come. They couldn't wait to see him. As were the wise men. The wise men, at great cost to them, left their home in the east and traveled hundreds of miles. And it took them weeks, if not months, to get there. And at great cost, they presented those gifts to Jesus because they knew who he was. You have the King Herod. King Herod, to Herod, this child was a nuisance. He was a competitor. He had to be eliminated. And he tried his best to do that. The chief priests and the scribes were also there, right, in this conversation, and even had a private meeting with Herod. What's interesting to me is when the question comes up, where is the Christ child? The chief priests and the scribes, they knew where he was. How'd they know that? Because they knew the scriptures. Micah 5:2, they knew he would come out. He was coming out of Bethlehem. They knew the scriptures, folks. You know what's sad to me? Is that not one time does it mention in the scriptures that either the chief priests or the scribes went down there to pay him a visit in Bethlehem. Not once. They knew the scriptures. Not even to investigate. Very apathetic. Didn't care. But this morning, I want us to look at Anna. Would you look at me with this text again? Verse 36. What does it say about her? It tells us her daddy's name. That she was from the tribe of Asher, which was one of those 10 northern tribes that were captured by the Assyrians. And this is, you know, 600-700 years prior to this. We know that she was a prophetess, along with 8 other women in the Bible, if we include Philip's daughters in Acts 21. The word prophet or prophetess in the Greek just means spokesman. And if one was a faithful prophet or a faithful prophetess in the scriptures, these were those who, regardless of whether they had an audience that listened to them or not, they declared what God told them to say. She was a prophetess, she was also, but this kind of stands out. If you look at the text, what really stands out about her initially is that she was old. She was elderly. She was up in years. However you want to say it. It says she was of great age, and she lived with her husband for only 7 years. And evidently he must have died. She's been since then a widow. And however you want to take this, and it's taken a couple different ways, you could say that either she's 84 years old now, or she was married for 7 years. Her husband is gone now, and since he's gone, she's been a widow for 84 years. If you calculate that a little bit, ordinarily girls would tend to get married around the age of 13. If she was married at 13, was married for 7 years, how old is she? She's 20. And now you add on 84 years of being a widow, if that's how you take it in the text here, how old is she here? 104. So whether she's 104 or she's 84, she's up in years. We could nicely say she's mature, okay? To me, that's interesting because it seems like it's like the Lord's making a lot of that, of her age. And if you think about it, it just lets me know, reminds us, that God's not finished with this woman yet. Think of Abram. How old was he when God called him out of Haran to go travel toward the promised land? He was 75. How old was Moses when God called him to go down to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Remember? He was 80. There's another guy in the Bible. His name was, Barzillai. He was a loyal servant to King David during the time that David was in a lot of trouble, you know, running. But he was a faithful servant to David, and he was 80 years old. And what's the point? You know, I consider myself to be a senior citizen. You know, when we were in Nebraska, I went to the grocery. They had this restaurant in the grocery there, and I noticed this sign, and it said, "You senior citizens, 55 and above get a discount." Like, whoa, look at that. I'm a senior citizen. And so I've arrived, you know. You know what? We're all getting older, okay? But the fact is, here's a woman that whether she was 84 or 104, God's not finished with her. Folks, God's not finished. As we get older and older, God's not finished with you. He has something for you. And I think this is critical. God wants to use her. And we need to, as we know how these other, you know, the shepherds, the wise men, King Herod, we know how they responded, how they reacted to the Christ child. How did she react? How did she react? And that's really what I want to boil this down to.
We know she was older, okay? We know she was devout. How do we know that? It says she remained in the temple. It was all about the Lord. It was all about Jehovah. She and the Lord. And it says she served God, even though she was older. She could have come up with all kinds of excuses. Not feeling good, whatever. I've done my time. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. She was passionate about the Lord, passionate about Israel. She cared about her people, and she was fixated on praying and fasting. And at that instant now, verse 38, and now she walks in, and that instant, Simeon's holding 6-week-old Jesus, and he is excited. And in fact, this is what he says in verse 29. He's speaking as she comes. And this is what he's saying. Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation. Lord, I can go any time now. I'm ready. I've seen the one. I'm good. Which you have prepared for the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And, you know, all that we would be that excited to see the Lord, you know, right? Do we long to see the Messiah face to face? I'm thinking of 1 John 3:2-3 says, Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. What an encouragement that is. Oh, to see the Lord and long to see him. Does our life hold for us that one simple dominating desire to see the Lord as it did for these two? Jesus Christ should be the focal point of our life. He should be the governing principle. He should be the priority of my life. And this morning, I just want to challenge you that if you're here without Christ, if Jesus Christ is not your Lord and Savior yet, you need to heed the testimony of Anna and trust Jesus Christ as your Messiah, as your only means of salvation. It says here that this is the way she responded. It says she gave thanks. Do you see that? She gave thanks to the Lord. That's how she responded. She was grateful. She was so thankful to God that this moment that she was there and for this child. And so thankful that how else did she respond? Don't miss this. It says what? She spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. She couldn't wait. Like the shepherds. She couldn't wait to burst forth from there and tell everyone that the Redeemer is here. He's come to redeem us. That theme is kind of cut through as we've shared testimonies and sung this morning. He has been, you know what it means to redeem? It means to regain or repossess something at a cost. And that's what Jesus in Bethlehem came to do. He came to redeem us. He came to buy us back. Ever since Genesis 3, we're under the curse of sin, are we not? And the only way out was for God to come and to give his life for us. That is amazing, that truth, that he came for us to redeem us, to regain our possession at a cost to him. What does that look like? Listen, what does that look like? And this morning, are you thankful? Do you speak of him to others? But I want to ask you, as our Redeemer who's come at a cost, what does that look like? You have all heard, most of you have heard the story about a little boy who built a sailboat. He had it all fixed up. He tarred it, sealed it, and painted it. He took it to the lake and pushed it into the lake, hoping it would sail. Sure enough, a wisp of breeze filled the little sail and it billowed, went rippling along with the waves. Suddenly, before the little boy knew it, the boat was out of his reach. Even though he waded in fast and he tried to grab it as he watched it float away, He hoped that maybe the breeze would shift and it would come sailing back to him. Instead, he watched it go farther and farther until it was gone. He went home crying. His mother asked, "What's wrong? Didn't the boat work?" He said to her, "It worked too well." Sometime later, you know, that little boy was downtown and he walked past a secondhand store. There in the window, he saw the boat. It was his boat, no question about it. So he went in and he said to the proprietor, "That's my boat, sir." He walked to the window, he picked it up, he started to leave with it. The owner of the shop said, "Wait a minute, sonny. That's my boat. I bought it from someone." And the boy quickly said, "No, that's my boat. I made it. See? I made this thing. I know. I put it all together." He showed him the little scratches and the marks where he'd hammered on that little boat, and he filed it down. The man said, "I'm sorry, sonny. If you want it, you have to buy it." The poor little guy didn't have any money, but he worked hard and he saved his pennies. Finally, one day, he had enough. He went in and he bought the little boat. And as he left the store, holding that boat close to him, he said this, little boat, you're my boat. You're twice my boat. First, you're my boat because I made you. And second, you're my boat because I bought you." And you know, folks, Christ made us and Christ bought us back. He redeemed us at a cost. And that's why he came. But I'm just challenging you this morning. Would we respond like Anna? And be thankful for that fact and be willing to share it to all that we come across.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to worship with us on Sunday at 10 o'clock in the morning, followed by a luncheon and an uplifting time of interactive Bible study for teenagers and adults after that. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministry that also occurs in the afternoon session. If you have any questions about the church, or would like to learn more about how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.